Hi everyone. This is a presentation on that second project, that's the HPV vaccine acceptability study for adolescent males in Philadelphia. And I am presenting on behalf of our group. And as part of this project, we did focus group and questionnaire work with both heterosexual and gay and bisexual adolescent males in Philadelphia. And so I'm presenting on the latter half of this today. We don't have anything to disclose. For those of you in the room who are not too familiar with HPV, although it's been in the media a lot lately, and probably most of you are aware, just a quick rundown here, it is the most common sexually transmitted infection in the U.S. Prevalence and incidence are similar in males and females, but there are variations based on the risks of the population and ages and things like that. We know that there are oncogenic HPV strains that are responsible for a large percentage of male cancers. It's also a primary cause of genital warts in both males and females. Most people will not really have any symptoms. Those who are infected will not have symptoms. Many will clear the virus on their own, but those who do not clear the virus can go on to have genital warts or HPV-related cancers. So HPV in gay and bisexual males in this population that we're talking with about today, it's a particular concern in this population. Rates of HPV are believed to be the highest among all males in this segment of our population. In particular, HPV and HIV co-infection is very, very prevalent. MSM are at increased risk of anal cancer compared to other men. So we had a particular focus when we were looking at HPV vaccine acceptability because of their very heightened level of risk. This slide has already become outdated as the vaccine acceptance has changed last week at the time when these slides had to be uploaded. But in 2009, the FDA approved Gardasil for the use of males in ages 9 to 26. Originally, ACIP, which is the committee that makes these recommendations about who it should be used in and what level, had a permissive recommendation for males, of which they just upgraded this last week to be a recommended use in males. So now we have equal footage for males and females. Data has shown resistance in persistent HPV infections among vaccinated males. We know that it is an effective vaccine for males. We know that it offers the greatest benefit to males and females if done before the onset of sexual activity. And the most common side effects are very rarely mild and very similar to those that you would see with other routine vaccinations. Most of the literature up to date has focused on heterosexual males and their willingness to accept the HPV vaccine. There's a little bit more literature on gay and bisexual males and even less on younger adolescent males, which is what our population focused on here. But we do know that up until most recently, knowledge and awareness about the vaccine and about HPV in general was quite low. When you educate males about the vaccine, you provide them a little bit of information about HPV and the vaccine and its purpose and intent. Acceptability is generally high and the attitudes are favorable. You'll find that in both males and females once they're educated. Correlates of vaccine acceptance are very similar in males and females, and they are things like having a high number of partners, which goes along with risk, knowledge about the HPV and the vaccine, awareness, things like that, having an STD in the past, which goes back to risk, and then just an overall general desire to prevent either genital warts or cancer or just maintain good health, or they generally take preventive strategies in general. And actually, the very little amount of data that does exist for gay bisexual males shows that their attitudes and their interest in vaccinating are very similar to other populations of males. So we don't have any reason to think that it might be very different. So this study is where we focused in on what we did is we developed our study materials, which is a very simple protocol. We conducted our focus groups with adolescents here in Philadelphia. It seems to be a very Philadelphia-focused panel. And then we looked at relevant factors in decision-making that might motivate guys in this population to be vaccinated. This study was focused in based on the theory of planned behavior, which shows that attitudes, subjective norms, perceived behavioral control are the ultimate influencers of intentions, which then would lead to actually doing a behavior, in this case vaccination. We had a focus group guide that started out talking about general adolescent male health, the issues that they're facing, what kind of concerns do they have. Then we moved into sexually transmitted infections. We talked about HPV more specifically. We talked about vaccine awareness in general. What do they know about vaccines? Which ones do they know? Which ones have they had? Those kinds of things. Then we talked about the HPV vaccine. We talked about decision making on health issues in general, and then specifically about the HPV vaccine. And then if we were to go back as a public health intervention, how would we reach this particular community and what kind of messages would they like to see about the vaccine if they were aware and interested in it? They did a short questionnaire before they were involved in a focus group. We kept the questionnaire very simple because we were working with adolescents as young as 13, so we kept it really simple and a pretty low literacy level. But these are the general areas that we had in our content of questionnaire, and the results that I'll show you here are both sprinkled with both questionnaire data and focus group results. We conducted, at the time I submitted this abstract, we conducted 3 focus groups with the males, but we've now done 4 of them. They were all moderated by MPH level males. The 2 who did most of the moderating of these 4 groups have a lot of extensive work in this community in Philadelphia. They're real known in the community, and the places that we recruited, I was entirely behind the scenes. They didn't really know I existed too much. So they worked really nicely with the males. We had community-based recruitment strategies. We partnered with actually a lot of the groups that you had mentioned in your presentation throughout Philadelphia to engage some of the males in our presentations. We conducted those focus groups in their own community settings. We didn't ask them to come to a medical center or anything like that. We were able to use rooms and things like that right on site that they were familiar with. They were already there Friday evenings or something. So we, again, brought in lots of pizza, used the same specials that you used, and had them right on site. And then we audio recorded them. They lasted about 2 hours. We did a lot of them on Friday evenings and things like that. So we worked with 31 males at the time I had submitted this. It's about 50 or so now in our focus group. The mean age is about 17. It's a predominantly African-American, entirely urban population. About 3/4 of them are still in high school right now. The remainder are in junior high. A couple have graduated. Sexual activity, not only among themselves, but among their friends, is highly prevalent, just as others had on the panel had mentioned. So it's a pretty representative sample of young MSM in Philadelphia. Interestingly, and as opposed to more of a heterosexual male population, this group was highly aware of HPV. About 75% had heard of it, and they truly had heard of it. In the past, I had discussions where they got it confused with HIV or things like that, but I mean, they were actually truly able to identify it. And 61% had heard of the vaccine. 20% knew someone who had gotten it, mostly females who they had heard had gotten it. So awareness among this population was much higher than we had expected. When we talked about in general these health issues, and we just started out very generally, what are you concerned about? What things do you talk about, or what are you concerned about? They talked about sexually transmitted infections right at the top of the list. HIV, of course, a really high concern. And then they listed others, but they never really mentioned HPV, even though it was a predominantly sexually transmitted infection in their population. It really never came to the top of the list. Lots of peer pressure in this group, sex at a young age, which was verified here in an earlier presentation. They're worried about contracting STIs, but they don't know their partner's health status well enough. They don't know how to start those conversations. Lots of unprotected sex, multiple partner pleasures in this population. And they're exposed to a lot of public health messages, particularly about HIV. Some of them are unresponsive, but they're used to hearing a lot of prevention messages. So this falling into HPV wouldn't be out of the norm for them. So this is just a little bit of recap here. Knowledge and awareness is higher than for heterosexual males, but they don't know it's the most common one. A lot of them have heard about the vaccine, but they didn't really connect it to HPV. They could connect it to cervical cancer at times. And these our focus groups often led to lots of questions about HPV. So we would ask them one question, and they'd come back with like 15. And so we would just answer. We made sure the moderators were well-versed in all sorts of questions that they might get asked. So here's just some general snippets that came from our focus group. Has anybody heard of HPV? Do you feel that you may be at risk? And they said, yeah, I've heard about them, but I think we know more because of HIV. They talked about improper condom use that makes them at risk. And they also talked about they don't know how to talk about with their partner. They just sort of go with the spur of the moment. A little bit of the desire that you were talking about earlier came out with this younger group as well. So just a little summary of what we got from our questionnaire data is, yes, that they are used to these risk prevention messages, they're open to them, they're used to hearing them, that's a common thing. They were concerned about side effects of the vaccine, but it wasn't their predominant thing, not like the parents. The parents are much more of an issue with caregivers, not less about this with the males that we talked with. Most of the ones who talked about it, they thought it was a good idea, it was a smart idea, it was wise, it was generally things to do. So we asked some questions about attitudes. Well, what would be good about getting the vaccine? So things like better be than being safe than sorry. If anything that's helpful, you should get it. A little bit about risk at the bottom. It depends on what kind of person you are. So that person was really starting to think about risk and whether they would need it or not need it and what kind of person should get it and not get it. So then we asked some questions about adolescent decision-making. How do you make decisions about your health? Who do you involve in those decisions? How would you decide about if you wanted to get the HPV vaccine? And who would be involved in those kinds of things? And they talked about having to have a pretty strong understanding of the vaccine. They would want to know a lot about it before they made that decision. And they would factor in their own personal risk level. And they would want to know more about the characteristics of the vaccine. Is it a one-time thing? Like we told them it was 3, then they weren't, and that seemed like a lot of the work, as opposed to something you get once and then maybe there's a booster 5 years down the line. And they were much more likely to want to talk to females than males, maybe mom or someone like that. Males, not so much in our group. So again, from our focus group, who would you turn to, if anyone? Well, I know my uncle wouldn't be helpful because he's kind of homophobic. But we, you know, a lot of much more female-based discussions than turning to males. And then some of them, as they got as older in our sample, well, me personally, I wouldn't ask anyone. I would just go decide to get it on my own. So that was really a factor about age, I think. The 13 to 15 really wanted to talk to someone. The 17-ish, 18-ish were a little bit more willing to go make their own decisions. So just some concluding thoughts here. Their interest in the vaccine is quite high. And acceptance in this population may be higher among all males in general because of their stronger interest in HIV prevention and prevention in general and STI prevention. This might be an even more willing group than just males in general. And I think maybe for prevention strategies, this might be a group to target, not only because of their increased risk, but they're more likely to be acceptable and willing to do it. So I think that's a really nice match, that not only are they at increased risk, but they're more likely to be willing to get vaccinated. And their decision-making centers around a lot of their own personal risk, things like that. And just to conclude here, to thanks to the moderators, the first four were the moderators, the last two helped me behind the scenes, and then my own institution and the American Cancer Society. And I think that's it.